It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. On the eve of the state budget deadline, Governor Corbett met earlier today with the media to announce he signed the budget, but line item vetoed some $72 million in legislative spending. The governor is blaming budget problems on pension costs and called on the legislature to come back and enact pension reform.
The legislature needs to refocus on the priorities of the people of Pennsylvania. The legislature needs to take action on pension reform. More than 163 school districts already have been forced to raise property taxes on Pennsylvania families to pay for skyrocketing pension costs. We cannot afford to add any additional districts to this list.
I'm joined now by phone from Harrisburg by Patriot News opinion page editor John Misick, who covered the governor's news conference this morning. Good day, John.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Well, thank you. We spoke earlier this morning, and while a lot of people were wondering what Governor Corbett would do, you pretty much saw this coming.
Yeah, a broken clock is right at least twice a day, right? So I was pleased to be right today about it. As you just said, he line-item vetoed the legislature's appropriation, $65 million in direct support and another $7 million sort of related and ancillary accounts. They have about $130 million in reserves, so $65 million represents about half of their reserves, about 3 months worth of operating costs. The governor's trying to force them to the table to give them a deal on pensions.
So is this about the governor trying to gain control of a Republican legislature that he's been unable to control?
Yeah, I was thinking, I kind of wonder where this Tom Corbett was 4 years ago. You know, he was angry, he was decisive, he was in charge, and, you know, he's campaigning against the legislature here, which, with his approval, their approval ratings are slightly lower than his, so that's a winning, sort of a winning proposition. And this is an issue that hits a lot of school districts in their pocketbooks. I was just in Chambersburg out here in central Pennsylvania down near the Maryland line yesterday talking with a local school board member who told me they had to pass like a 2.5% local property tax increase with most of that driven by pension costs. So, I mean, this is a real hit you where you live kind of issue. The challenge, of course, is explaining it in a way that makes sense to the average voter.
And there were some different choices the governor could have made here. As of tomorrow, the budget, if he had not signed it, if he had not taken any action, it would have just automatically gone into effect. He could have vetoed the entire thing. But instead, he kind of picked out these little items as though he's kind of jabbing the legislature, you know, a little bit, and saying, okay, you won't give me what I want. Well, I'm going to take this item out of the budget and then this thing that you want out of the budget. Why do you suppose he went in this direction?
Well, I mean, if he'd vetoed the whole thing, you would have been talking about vetoing the basic education subsidy, you know, public welfare programs. And the governor made it pretty clear that's not the direction he wanted to go in. I mean, these folks haven't done anything wrong. And he argued that during the three and a half years of his administration that he's tried to increase support for them under difficult circumstances without raising taxes. So they're sort of innocent players in this. I mean, he very much cast the legislature as the bad guy, saying we as the administration have done our part to rein in costs and trim efficiencies and do that kind of stuff. But, you know, here they are sitting on a buck and a half worth of surplus, and the budget includes $5 million to cover their own parking costs. You know, it's time for them to feel a little shared sacrifice, too. So the best way for that to happen is for me to slice out their appropriation.
And is this the only leverage that he has?
At this point he does, short of calling a special session on pensions and making them come back, say, in August and deal with this. And he kind of left that option out there. We asked him if he planned on calling a special session. He said, you know, I'm still considering my options. And wouldn't go any further than that. And I don't know if that means additional line item vetoes if they refuse to play ball or what. But he's being kind of cagey.
Will the legislature be coming back? Is there enough hanging over their heads to force them back?
Well, I mean, he hit them for 3 months. They had 6 months of reserves. So if he didn't touch the reserve, if he didn't touch their appropriation, they could conceivably have waited them out. By going with 3 months, you know, that pretty soon you start talking about not paying employees, not covering costs. So it is a way to force them back to the table. On the other hand, though, by doing this, it's kind of, you're really saying it's really kicking them in the kneecaps and it's bring them back under duress. One wonders how inclined they'll be to play ball with a governor who's hitting them like this.
And could the legislature come back and override the line item vetoes while at the same time, John, avoiding the pension issue?
Well, I mean, the problem, that's like sort of a two-pronged thing. I mean, the problem is if they had the votes to do pensions, they would have done pensions already, and they didn't have the votes in the House or the Senate to do it. Maybe by blue-lining the appropriation, I could focus their attention to rustle up the votes. If they came back to override the veto, I think the optics of that are just god-awful. You know, we're coming back to take care of ourselves and make sure we got enough cash, but never mind you, Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer, who's being asked to pay, you know, an additional whatever the heck a year in property taxes to cover pension costs. And it looks bad if they do that.
It's Essential Pittsburgh, and we're talking by phone with Patriot News opinion page editor John Micek, who is with us from Harrisburg. He was at the governor's news conference this morning, in case you missed it. The governor today announcing he signed the budget, but line item vetoed about $72 million in legislative spending. And, John, have you had a chance to look this over and see what items the governor has taken out?
It's across several agencies. I mean, the $65 million is sort of their direct appropriation. There's lots of smaller appropriations across agencies. There's that $5 million for parking I alluded to. There's money for, like, the Fish and Boat Commission. There's earmarks within a bill known as the Fiscal Code, which is kind of like the instruction manual for the actual general fund budget. So he hit him in a lot of different places.
And I've been throwing out the figure $72 million. It's two chunks. It's $65 million plus another $7.2 million, I believe it is. So I added it together to come up with the $72 million figure, but. Explain, it's kind of confusing. Explain these two different chunks, how you differentiate.
Again, I mean, as I said a second ago, I mean, the $65 million is sort of the direct legislative appropriation, from their actual operating costs. At the other $7.2 million is spread across a variety of agencies and a variety of legislative earmarks. You know, which seem more like kind of like annoying mosquito bites to just sort of prick them in little ways.
Right. And so how does what the governor is doing, you know, you mentioned that this impacts the legislature, but how is what the governor is doing with these line item vetoes, how does it impact the state?
That, to be honest, I need to get a better handle on. I mean, there's, The budget is balanced really precariously, and so by taking this chunk of cash out, and the longer, I mean, they're moving some of the stuff into budgetary, what's known as budgetary reserves. But by taking this cash out, you kind of knock a leg out from under the budget in a way, and so it's possible they could have to come back and say December, January, and do what are known as freezes or lapses, just to keep or supplemental appropriations, just to keep the wheels of government rolling. It may not get that far, but, you know, another 3-4 months down the road, there may be some juggling that has to be done to make sure all the numbers add up.
John, is this as much about a tax revenue shortfall as it is about pension reform?
That's the big thing here. We were talking to Charles Zogby, the governor's budget secretary, afterward, and, you know, they've made it clear that tax revenues aren't where they're supposed to be. And, that they didn't like the way the legislature made ends meet in this budget. They did it without reoccurring revenues, which is sort of tax increases or fee increases to the layman, which means the next governor, whoever that is, and the next legislature will be back here next year trying to balance the books. I mean, the state is behind on its revenue collections, which makes things difficult.
And this is this conversation really is as much about what happened today and how it impacts the citizens of Pennsylvania, the citizens of the Commonwealth, but also, you know, particularly for the pundits, this is about looking at the implications for the governor and the motivations of the governor in a reelection year. At the end of the day, John, how does this decision, the course of action that the governor announced this morning, how does it make him look?
Well, I mean, there's an undeniable political component here. I mean, the governor's running about 20 points behind Democrat Tom Wolf in most public polls, and every sort of pollster and pundit that I've talked to says, you know, he needs a couple of big wins going into the fall to win a second term. He got transportation funding last fall. Liquor privatization continues to elude him. You know, he's got a tough argument to make on schools because there's still the narrative out there that he cut $1 billion from public education, although, you know, that argument has since been refuted to some extent by the administration. So pension reform is another big thing that he could take to the voters in the fall and say, look, you know, I helped this bill dodge this multi-billion-dollar bullet. I'm better equipped to manage than is Tom Wolf. So there's, you know, there's he needs this win going into the fall to sort of shore up his chances, and which are undeniably uphill at this point.
And is this Is this a realistic possibility? I mean, this would obviously be almost a legacy piece of legislation for him if he was able to do to get the legislature to go along with a pension overhaul. But it doesn't seem like there, even with a Republican majority, that the legislature is willing to go along with him on it.
Well, I mean, the problem is there's two chunks here. One is talking about adjusting the benefits for current and future employees, which the unions are fighting. And then there's this bigger chunk of about $65 billion in the unfunded liability of the pension fund that somehow has to be wrestled under control. It's a huge and intractable problem the state has been wrestling with for a decade, ever since lawmakers boosted their own benefits for state employees and teachers and themselves back in 2001. There was a bill that kind of refinanced it, to lack of a better term, in 2003. And now that bill is coming due, and they got to go back and they got to fix it again.
And even if they did, would there be an immediate? There's not necessarily an immediate effect to point to.
The bill that they were talking about in this session that they weren't able to rustle the votes for, sponsored by Mike Tobash, a Republican House member out of Schuylkill County. There was no upfront savings in this year's budget. It was in the following year.
So I mean, if something is accomplished, is it going to resonate with the voters?
I mean, the best they could play is that we've now it's going to be like a refinancing of the mortgage, and that's how they're going to have to try to sell this thing. That you know that we've fixed the books in a way that we'll be able to get our costs and payments under control, and make the make the contributions to the pension fund that we're supposed to make. But I mean, this is like accountant actuarial stuff, and I do this for a living, and it makes my eyes glaze over. I can only imagine trying to explain this to the average voter.
How much of this is about Governor Corbett in an election year choosing a path that puts blame on the legislature and makes him look like he's really taking charge of this situation?
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, I wondered where this Tom Corbett was 4 years ago. Very strong, very decisive, you know, not taking any guff, casting the legislature in as the bad guy. You know, his approval rating is lousy. Theirs are worse than his. So he loses nothing by running against them and making them the bogeyman here.
And, of course, there is perception and there is reality. So as you've said a couple times during the course of our conversation, you're wondering where this Tom Corbett is, which means that that this version of this decisive version of Tom Corbett, at least in appearance, has been largely absent. And so for the voters, how do you see this ultimately playing out with them? Is what we saw today at the Capitol going to stick?
I don't know. I mean, they say they want to go out and sell this to the voters, and they didn't say how they were going to do that, if that was going to be a TV thing or if he was going to do a whistle-stop tour, for lack of a better term. You know, his approvals are like 20%. Only 26% of them think that he deserves a second term. You know, it's a little bit late in the game for, you know, another pivot on image, but, you know, he's hoping maybe if he can score a win on this, this will at least give him something.
And have you been able to sample any reaction at all from people? I mean, I realize this just happened. The news conference began roughly at about 10:30, so it's not even been 2 hours yet. But John, from where you are in Harrisburg, have you been able to sample any reaction either from reporters, legislators, or some average folks?
That will be the task before me this afternoon, Paul.
All right, I'll let you get back to that task. In the meantime, John Micek is the Patriot News opinion page editor. John, as always, great thanks.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Coming up, what kind of a makeover will a $30 million grant buy the neighborhood of Larimer? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.